All right, get ready to dive into something really cool today, because we're going deep, really deep into the world of Paul Cézanne and his card
Oh
players.
yeah, those paintings, those are great.
Yeah, at first glance, they seem pretty simple, right? Just a group of guys hanging out, playing cards.
Right.
But, and you probably already know this, there's so much more going on in these paintings than meets the eye.
Yeah, you said it.
We're so excited you requested this deep dive, so get ready, because by the end of this, you'll totally see why these paintings have captivated art lovers for like over a century.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's so captivating is how Cézanne takes this super ordinary activity, just a card game, and turns it into this profound statement about, well, about focus and even about the human condition, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you're right. It's not like some wild action-packed poker night. He kind of throws us for a loop,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Because instead of that chaos that you usually see in paintings of card games, he focuses on the stillness and
Yeah,
concentration.
exactly.
And it's that unexpected quietness, I think, that just draws you in.
It totally does. And this is where things get really interesting when you compare Cézanne's work to those 17th century Dutch and French genre paintings.
Right, those tavern scenes.
Exactly. He's clearly drawing on those traditions, but then he just kind of flips the script. Instead of a noisy, chaotic tavern, we get these really quiet, contemplative moments. It's subtle, but it's such a powerful shift.
Totally, yeah. It's like he's saying, forget all the noise and drama. Look at these guys' faces. Look at how focused they are. That's what's really interesting here.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. And to really understand that, that shift, we need to take a look at the whole series, all five versions of these paintings.
Okay, let's do it.
And a great place to start is with the one in Philadelphia at the Barnes Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
This one's the biggest one, the most complex. It's got five people in it, three are playing cards, and then there are these two guys watching. It's almost like they're giving us a peek into this little private world,
It's true, you're right. It's like those two extra figures, those spectators, they're what really pull you into the scene. You know what I mean? Like they're making us ask questions like, what are these guys thinking? What's going on in this game?
Exactly. Okay, now picture yourself hopping on a plane, heading over to New York City to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Because they've got another version, but this one only has four figures.
Oh, interesting.
And for a long time, people thought that this was like the second painting he did in the series.
Really?
But recently they've done all this analysis, like using X-rays and infrared, to look at the painting.
Wow.
And they're thinking now that it might have been more of a study for the bigger painting, the Barnes one.
So it's like he was experimenting with the composition, almost like a film editor, trying out different shots.
Yeah.
It's really cool how technology can help us understand art in a whole new way, don't you think?
It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then if you want to compare those two to the most famous one, it's smaller, simpler. It's the two-player one at the Musée d'Orsay in Paris.
Ah, yes. The one that got wrapped up in that wild art heist a while back.
Oh, you know about that.
Of course. It's crazy to think someone thought that painting was so valuable they'd risk everything to steal it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
When I talk about dedication, right?
I know, right? It shows you how powerful Cézanne's work is. But, even without that whole crazy heist story, this painting is still totally captivating.
Oh, yeah.
The composition, the balance, the way he captures this intensity with just two figures, it's just masterful.
It really is. I mean, there's this palpable tension, even though it's such a still scene, you almost feel like you could reach out and touch it.
It's true, you really feel it.
Yeah.
You can practically hear the cards as they're dealing them and feel that silence between the players.
Totally. And the colors? Oh, the colors. Don't even get me started.
Tell me about it.
I mean, he uses this really muted palette, but it somehow manages to feel vibrant and alive.
Exactly. It's like he's not just painting a picture of these guys, he's painting a feeling, an atmosphere.
You said it. It's amazing.
And he does it all through his use of color and brushstrokes. And these elements are really front and center when you look at the other two versions of the card players.
So we've talked about how Cézanne plays around with the composition of these paintings, but I'm really curious about those last two you mentioned. What can you tell us about them?
Okay, well, imagine like walking into this super quiet gallery in London at the Courtauld Institute of Art.
Okay, yeah.
That's where you'll find another one of the two-player compositions.
Huh.
And this one, I don't know, I've always just been drawn to it just because it feels so intimate, like you're right there with them, almost eavesdropping.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because for me, it's always been the details in that one that get me. you know.
Okay.
The tablecloth, you know, it looks kind of worn and stained. And that single wine bottle just sitting there on the table.
I know, right?
You can practically smell the wine and feel how heavy the silence is as these guys are just thinking about their next move.
It's so true. And those details you're talking about, they're not just random details. You know?
Right, right.
They're so important because they actually tell us something. Remember how different Cézanne's paintings are from those crazy tavern scenes?
Totally.
Well, those details, they add to that whole atmosphere of concentration, of quiet focus. It's almost like we're in some sacred space.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Where even just everyday life has meaning.
Yeah, I get it.
And then there's the fifth one. Now, this one's kind of a mystery.
Oh.
It's part of a private collection, so most people never even get to see it.
Wow. So it's like the hidden treasure of the card players, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
We know it's another two-player composition, kind of like the Orsay and the Courtauld versions.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the specifics,
yeah,
your guess is as good as mine.
It must be pretty amazing, though, if it's anything like the others.
It is. There's one thing we know about it, though. One pretty big detail we can't ignore.
What's that?
The price tag.
Oh, yeah. The $250 million sale.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
It blows my mind to think that a painting, especially one of something as ordinary as a card game, could be worth so much.
It is wild.
Yeah.
But I think it really says something about us, you know?
Yeah.
About what we value, not even just in art, but just in life.
You know, like in a world that's all about being fast and flashy, these paintings make us slow down for a minute.
That's true.
They remind us that simple things can be beautiful, you know, like focus and connection, stuff like that.
It's true. It's like they're holding up a mirror to our crazy, hectic lives, and they're telling us to just chill out, look around, and really appreciate what's right in front of us.
You got it. And, you know, speaking of seeing, let's talk about Cézanne's process for a minute. Because, I mean, these paintings, they didn't just magically appear on the canvas, right?
Of course not. He obviously spent hours and hours working on these, getting them just right.
I would love to know more about the whole process. Like, were there sketches? Did he do practice runs? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You're going to love this. So for the longest time, people thought that Cézanne started with the big compositions and then did the smaller ones. Almost like a composer taking a huge orchestra piece and rewriting it for a smaller group.
Oh, okay.
But get this, recent research.
Yeah.
Totally flipped that idea on its head.
Really? So what did they find? What's the real story?
It turns out Cézanne was like this mad scientist in his studio. Always experimenting, always changing things up. He wouldn't just work from big to small. He'd go back and forth trying different things in the smaller versions to see what worked, like the composition and the brush strokes, even the colors.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So those sketches and studies you see in museums sometimes, those aren't just like rough drafts. They're more like pieces of the puzzle. Like each one tells part of the story of how he got to those amazing final paintings.
Exactly. And some of them, honestly, they're so good, they're basically masterpieces all on their own.
Oh, really?
Like, have you ever seen The Portrait Man with a Pipe?
I don't think so.
It's amazing.
Right.
A lot of times, museums will display it next to the Courtauld version of the card players.
Oh, okay, cool.
But the way Cézanne captures that guy's face, all weathered, and his eyes, they're so intense. It's just as good as any of the big card player paintings.
Wow, that's really cool. It's obvious that even those sketches, he put his whole heart into those, every single detail, every brush stroke. It's like he didn't see them as just studies, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
And that's another reason the card players are so captivating. Mm-hmm. They're not just about a card game. They're about looking closer.
Yeah.
You know, about finding something interesting in the everyday.
Which kind of makes me wonder, what do you think Cézanne was trying to tell us with these paintings? What did he want people to feel when they looked at them?
Oh man, you're asking the big questions now. I mean, that's what our historians have been debating for I don't know how long.
It's true, it's true.
But I think it's probably safe to say that Cézanne was super interested in capturing those human moments, those everyday moments, but finding something really important in them, you know? And he does that how he does it. He gets rid of all the unnecessary stuff, all the distractions, and makes us see these people, you know.
It's like he's saying, come on, look a little closer. There's something really special here if you just pay attention.
You know, it's funny you should mention getting rid of all the distractions and extra stuff, because that really makes me think about those 17th century paintings we talked about, you know, those tavern scenes.
Yeah.
They're all so dramatic. Fancy clothes and people making all these crazy gestures. Sometimes it even looks like a fight's about to break out.
It's true. Totally different vibe.
But then you look at Cézanne's paintings, and it's like he's saying, No, forget all that. Look at these guys. Look at their faces, their hands. You can tell they've lived a life, you know? And the way the light's hitting the table, I don't know. I just really connect with how much respect he has for these guys, for their hard work.
Absolutely. And, you know, by zeroing in on those ordinary details, the things we might just walk past every day, he actually ends up showing us something really incredible.
What's that?
The inner lives of these guys.
You know? I see what you're saying.
Their thoughts, their feelings, all those little things we usually keep hidden. But you can see it in the way they're holding themselves, their expressions, all those tiny details.
Yeah, it's like he's frozen time right at this moment of intense focus, and you can just feel it. And it makes you wonder, do you think Cezanne felt that same kind of focus when he was painting these?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I think it makes me realize how timeless these paintings are.
How so?
Because whether you're living in the 1890s when he painted these or today, we all know what it's like to be totally absorbed in something, to kind of lose yourself in the moment. And that's something everyone can connect with.
I totally agree. And, you know, that might be why people are still so drawn to these paintings today. They offer this, I don't know, this kind of escape from our crazy, busy world.
Mm-hmm.
They remind us that the most meaningful experiences, the things we really remember, they usually happen when we slow down and just appreciate what's right in front of us.
It's so true. Cezanne's paintings are like a little invitation, you know?
An invitation to do what?
To slow down, look around, and think about what we see. To remember that there's beauty everywhere, even in the most ordinary things, as long as we're paying attention.
I love that. And speaking of paying attention, I have one last question for you, something to think about.
Okay, I'm ready.
Imagine if you could actually step inside one of those paintings, one of Cezanne's card players.
Oh, wow.
Which one would you choose? And what do you think you'd hear? Would you hear the cards shuffling, or maybe those guys talking? Or would it be totally silent, just that deep, deep concentration?
Man, that's going to be stuck in my head for a while.
Me too. It's amazing to me how a few guys playing cards can make us think about so much.
It's just the magic of art.
It really is. And on that note, we'll shuffle up our own deck and call it a day. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive into Cezanne's card players.